All right, ladies and gentlemen, coming up, Randy Orton. He's back in his old ways doing the unthinkable on Monday Night Raw. Also, AEW, the women's division. What's going on? Is it desirable or is it deniable? Or is it, I don't know. And the Velveteen Dream is back. All this and so much more coming up on Break It Down with Brian H.
No, baby, that's for somebody else. We're just gonna keep you right where you're at right now.
It doesn't matter what you think.
The Wrestling Realm presents Break It Down with Brian H.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this episode of Break It Down with Brian H. I'm your host, Brian H. Waters. This show, of course, is brought to you by the Wrestling Realm. Before we get into today's show, folks, we have to talk about it. We have to honor a legend. We lost a legend this past week. The one and only Kamala, James Harris, died. They said it was due to COVID-19 complications. We know that he was diabetic. Unfortunately, he was a double amputee. If you've seen pictures of him throughout the years, you saw that both of his legs have been amputated. And he was vocal. There was a time when him and his son, they did do a video. You know, they did a video saying that the WWE was not a place for a black man. We seen his son out there. Matter of fact, a few years ago, I had actually was about to land an interview with Kamala Jr. Unfortunately, times happened. We just couldn't get it done. But certainly my condolences go out to him. He was the Ugandan giant. For me growing up, he was somebody that I watched, as a child. He was always the heel when I was watching him. So naturally, I rooted against him, to be honest with you. I saw him face The Undertaker. And I know there, if you go out there, you check out, there's some videos and articles out there about how The Undertaker and Kamala got two different pays. And I'm talking about a different, like extra zero at the end of the paycheck. And it just goes to show you about the way blacks have been treated in wrestling. And I know people out there say, well, you never was really vocal about this. Yeah, I've been in denial, to say the least. I have been somebody who would say, well, when you look at it this way, when you look at it that way. One of the people that I always give credit to who held me accountable is my brother, Terrence Williams. TWT, talk about, make sure you give him a follow. Because when we met, he was always vocal about this. And we had some in-depth conversations. You check out our episode the week before Kofi Kingston won the championship. And I got to get Terrence back on here. There's no doubt about it, right? We love wrestling. Black people love professional wrestling. But sometimes wrestling just doesn't love us back. And we talked about this on the racial injustice episode of Bring It Down with Brian H., Wrestling for the Culture. We talked about that, which make sure you check it out right here on YouTube. Or if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, it's right there. So make sure you check that out. But we definitely address these issues. So it's unfortunate. Kamala probably will get in the Hall of Fame if he does, because I know some people say he won't. If he does, in my opinion, he goes into that legacy wing. And let's be honest, it's not the same. You don't get the presentation. You know, Sean Stasiak's father, Stan the Man Stasiak, went in there. And all he was able to do was tweet about how he was proud that his dad went in there. And a lot of times with the legacy wing, it's because the younger generation won't understand. So this guy meant a lot to the business, but he wasn't that big or that iconic where people my age, 34, as of last Friday, will sit there and understand the stories or the histories. And maybe it's because they're so far removed. And I think that's unfortunate because our generation would understand and would love to hear what the family members of James Harris had to say. So this is unfortunate, but like I said, my prayers and condolences go out for his family. A legend indeed. Kamala, thank you for what you've done, and thank you for your sacrifice from your family to entertain us. You know, we move on. I begin the opening, and I stated that Randy Orton has gone to a new level. This past Monday night, we saw him take on Kevin Owens, and he got into Ric Flair's face and told him. Now, I'll be honest with you, I did not watch this live. I chose to watch a movie with my wife. I mean, why not, right? But so I kind of knew what had happened, so I had to watch it play out. And it was one of those things. This is one of those things where when you know what's coming, it doesn't have the same effect. But looking at it, it's like, why, Randy? Why? Why would he turn on the Nature Boy Ric Flair? And I thought about it. Randy Orton turning on Ric Flair ensures that we will not cheer him at SummerSlam to defeat Drew McIntyre. If you're a diehard Flair fan, you don't want to see Randy Orton, because what he did was mean and sadistic to punt Ric Flair, to hurt Ric Flair. Come on. You don't want that to happen. And I love how they made the lights go out so we couldn't tell. But we knew what was up. We knew what he did. And it's crazy because, you know, you look at what's going on at SummerSlam and I don't see Ric Flair coming out there. Maybe this is the way to write Ric Flair off. Let's look at it from a different lens, right? Let's take off the kayfabe. Maybe they got one of the, you know, Flair, and he's always in the business. He has this obsession. And a lot of people was online saying, we always going to get a Flair on there, whether it's Charlotte or Rick. But he has this obsession with the business, you know, that pop. And even though there's no fans there, the people there are fans. They just work. They just get paid by the company. They're probably paid to be there, right? And we saw that with Flair. You know, he loves that pop. So, and let's be real. He's still one of the best on the microphone. He still is the best on the microphone for what it is when you put him in that locker room. But I'm wondering what happens with him now. And what happens with Randy Orton? Will Randy be victorious? He looks like he's in championship form. He's the guy who can turn it on when he wants. At any given moment, Randy Orton can turn it on and be the most sadistic, the most heinous heel in the business. And it's believable. And he's going to make you root for Drew McIntyre just as hard as you did at WrestleMania, because you don't want to see, after what he just did to Ric Flair, you don't want to see Orton become champion. And so I'm looking forward to this match. I do think this will be, this might be the main event. You know, I think they might go with that one. Only time will tell. Pat McAfee and Adam Cole. Didn't talk about it last week. As if you tuned in last week, we talked black wrestlers with some black journalists. So make sure you check that out. I had some good friends join me, and it was exciting. A great episode. Candace Cordelia, Santana, Brianna, David Shealy, and Lamar Gafford. So make sure you check out that episode. If you haven't, you know, you hear ladies who are journalists talking professional wrestling. And yes, they know the business. You have gentlemen who are esteemed sports journalists talking professional wrestling. So I was happy that my friends, as we celebrated another week, celebrating the National Association of Black Journalists, I said, hey, look, NABJs this week, let's get on and let's talk wrestling. And they answered the call. But it brings us back. Pat McAfee, Adam Cole. I'm going to be honest with you. Not excited. Now, I do understand this. This is what I understand. You have Adam Cole, who wrestling fans know who he is, but the masses do not. If you put Adam Cole's face on ESPN randomly, Everybody doesn't know who he is. They know who Roman Reigns is. They know who Charlotte Flair is. They don't know who Adam Cole is. They know who Pat McAfee is. So I understand it from that business side. But Pat McAfee, like, come on. This is annoying. And maybe I just don't like it because the way the storyline started, you know, him, the explanatives and all that. It's like, yo, y'all doing too much, man. We know. Come on, we know. But, you know, shout out to Adam Cole making him look good, selling the punt when he kicked him in the head. I'm like, man, that's a different kick than a Randy Orton one. So, but they're going to take on each other at TakeOver 30, SummerSlam weekend. Is this Adam Cole's going home party? I was watching, I think it was the QME podcast. I was watching that. Is this Adam Cole's going home party? Only, you know, I should say going away party, getting ready for the main roster. We saw Sasha Banks put over Bayley before she went to Raw officially, even though she was on there before she officially went to Raw. So maybe that's what this is. This is different because usually when you have your going away party, you're taking on the next star that's up and coming. But I want to know, where does Pat McAfee go from here? He's not challenging for NXT titles, is he? You know, we saw this with Gronk. Gronk was the 24/7 champion. He hosted WrestleMania, but now he's back to playing football. So what was his purpose? What, you know, if Brady doesn't get traded outside of New England, is Gronk still in the WWE? You know, and I think he's still maybe signed under contract. So he's probably doing a little double duty, probably going to try a little Deion Sanders action. But Pat McAfee, you know, he's not doing that. But, you know, he's one of them annoying shock jocks. So not impressed, man. Not impressed at all. Cody Rhodes, he unveiled a new TNT championship, the TNT television championship this week on AEW Dynamite. I should say he unveiled it on social media first. That would lead to him showing off the belt. He had a match with Scorpio Sky, which I have to note that Mike Chioda, Hall of Fame, well, he's not in the Hall of Fame yet, but legendary referee who I believe was let go to COVID cuts. That's what I'm gonna call him, COVID cuts. I believe he was let go, but now he's in AEW. He called the match. They treated this match like it was a big deal, big fight feel. You had Cody coming out with his entire family, meaning the Nightmare family. He had obviously his wife, his wife's tag partner in Allie, QT Marshall, I believe, was there, and Dustin Rhodes, and Arn Anderson. So all of them come out. You kind of know where this is going, and it sucks because here we go again. Yes, I am going to call out AEW on this. AEW promised diversity. AEW promised a lot of things, and I don't see it. I saw that Nyla Rose was the women's champion, somebody who represents the LGBTQ community. I see that Sunny Kiss, another representative of the LGBTQ community, was also have had some, you know, matches and showcases. Scorpio Sky did have an AEW. Well, I don't think the title was online, but he had a match with Jericho. He had a match with Cody. He's been on AEW Dark. Why not position this guy? You're positioning Orange Cassidy in a big light. Why not position him as somebody besides Mr. AEW Dark? That's where I'm like, what are y'all doing? Y'all know better. And then we asked this question a while ago, who are some of the other black superstars that AEW has in the men's division, right? They did bring on Sugar D, but he was just, you know, drive by. They got Lee Johnson. They have, they had another guy that keep losing. He looks like $100, but he keeps losing on AEW. So I'm like, all right, what are y'all doing? Y'all not much better than the WWE. Earth to people. There are black people that can wrestle. There is black talent out there that can draw money. Find them. Bring them on. So that's where I am with that. But obviously, Cody retains the title next week, next Saturday. he's going to defend the title because Brody Lee has made it clear that's what he wants. He even showed the old championship. Before I get into tag team, because this was a night of tag team appreciation, got more than that. We saw Brody Lee hold the old TNT championship. I have an issue with y'all showing us the title. If the title wasn't ready, delay the tournament. You know, did we understand COVID-19? Okay, why show a half belt? Why? You know, you never see the WWE come out with, oh yeah, we got the belt, but it's not fully ready yet. No, you just wait. Were you that hard pressed for a championship? You could have had incredible matches and stories that matter. You know, you could have showcased the women's division in those time slots. I'm just saying. So there was no reason to do that. And that's what was annoying, because you showed us this belt for a couple months and now here comes the real title. And it's like, oh yeah. You know, and long-term planning, why not have the TNT championship? Why not know about this? So, you know, when I look at AEW, and you know, I think I'm going to hit up the real Dwayne Allen. AEW a year later. Spoiler alert. Matter of fact, I'm going to text him right now. Let's say, how about we have a show called, I'm going to saying this while recording. How about we have a show called AEW a year later? So, yeah, just, I mean, I don't know. And shout out to the Orioles just winning, beating the Philadelphia Phillies. What up, JB? My O's getting it done. 8-6, baby. What was that? No, I'm sorry. 9-7. So a team that wasn't supposed to do well has just been winning games. So, but yeah, that's the thing with AEW. I look at a lot of things. I feel like a lot of things is rushed. I do see what I see is a company ran by wrestlers. You talk about Vince McMahon and his ruthless ways and not having a heart sometimes, but business is in order. We as wrestling fans, a lot of times don't like the way creative directions. We as wrestling fans don't like what they're doing, but in those demos, it works. Obviously they've been in the business for so long. And for my TV folks, when people don't understand TV, you know, just in case y'all don't know, books, you know, this right here is a television radio announcer. That's just one of the many TV books I have. So in other words, and my degree is around here somewhere, this is the case it would go in because it's hanging up. But just to let you know, I have a degree in television production. And with the degree in television production, you'll learn that not too many shows stick around as long as the WWE. Matter of fact, I had a 10-page report to do. Guess what I did on Monday Night Raw? And I got an A on it. So I know what I'm talking about when it comes to the business of television. There's a reason why Vince McMahon's TV product has lasted so long. As much as we love WCW, Nitro was only around from 95 to 2001. It wasn't like, I mean, it was thriving. Don't get me wrong. But the people, the executives said, hey, we're done with this. When you look at AEW, there is an executive who has left the company, who was left the TNT Time Warner company, or I should say Time Warner. He was a big AEW fan. We don't know how the next person is. Is he big of a fan? So when it comes to the business, they have to appeal to larger audiences. The thing that Jim Ross said in his latest book was when they went to UPN, Vince McMahon kept honing. This is a new audience, JR. This is a new audience. So when we go back and you watch SmackDown debut on UPN, you may have heard lots of stuff about Triple H, The Rock, Chris Jericho, Road Dogg, Undertaker, Kane, X-Pac, all the people who's on that show. You may have heard so much about and so much background, but you have to understand is that these people who they are appealing to, this is a new audience. Remember, USA was on cable television. UPN was on network television. So there was a lot of people, such as myself, who couldn't watch Raw on Mondays, but was able to watch UPN on Thursdays. And when I was able to do that, I was somebody who was fortunate enough to have somebody tape Monday Night Raw. But for the new fans who kept hearing about this great thing called wrestling, but may not have had cable, they was able to finally see SmackDown and finally see WWE programming every Thursday, every week. So because of that, they were allowed to, they had to get caught up on product knowledge. And that's what AEW does not do well. They do not catch us up on these guys and gals. Everybody in wrestling knows Kenny Omega was a star in New Japan. If you was a recent fan like me, you saw that. If you were an old school fan, you would say, but he wasn't a star when AJ Styles was there. He wasn't a star when, you know, when Finn Balor, Prince Devitt was there. But you bring him there, and the Bucks and Cody and Kenny are like, we don't want to constantly put ourselves over. Well, guess what? You kind of should have, because you guys were the stars of wrestling and had that crossover appeal. Trying to put other people over just doesn't work. This TNT championship, trying to get people on the indies a chance, makes no sense at all. I'm not going to believe that somebody who is not signed with the company is going to come in there and beat Cody for the title. Let's keep it real. This Wednesday was the first time that I actually believe that Cody had a chance of losing the strap. Next week, next Saturday, I believe he will lose the strap to Brody Lee. But other than that, no, I was not believing it, because I know Eddie Kingston, who's not signed, is not going to beat Cody. Let's keep it real. So that's where I have an issue with bringing on these indie guys to come on, you know, and in the tag tournament, the same thing. It's got to make sense. But, like I said, the tag team appreciation night. I know I brought this up shows ago. Eric Bischoff said it best. Tag team wrestling is expensive. You have FTR constantly talking about they wanted WWE to pay tag team wrestling, make it meaningful. I understand that, but I guess this tag team appreciation night, it was cool. You had everybody talking about who their favorite tag team, and that's when I was sitting there watching. I was like, yeah, I get it, but it just felt like Marks were running the business. That's all. And I won't harp on that too much. I will say this. This retribution mess, it makes no sense, WWE. I'm not trying to complain so much, but they're giving me material. The retribution just doesn't make any sense this week. All these guys look little, and they just going around breaking up stuff. They got masks on. Okay, this is a shot at the Dark Order. At least with Nexus, we saw where they were. And I guess the 7 to 10 year mark, it makes a difference, or people forget about it. Nexus was 10 years ago. But I'm really supposed to believe, like, what's their purpose? Why are they upset? At least with the Nexus, we saw an invasion. Hey, they felt like, hey, we're up next. Boom, let's go in there. After they did their whole spill down on the show, that made sense. This right here makes no sense. I'm bored. Who cares? Just that simple. Who cares? Whew. Seth Rollins, Dominic. Dominic took a beating this past Monday. And Seth Rollins called it paying his dues. He went out there and beat the heck out of him. And to the point, CM Punk even said, hey, man, you know, maybe need to cut his hair and stuff. So that's going to be the match at SummerSlam. Could care less about it. I look at Dominic. So, look, here's my thing. I like rooting for the next generation, but Dominic, to me, doesn't look like a wrestler. He looks like a wrestler's kid. Austin Gunn looks like a wrestler. Curtis Axel looked like a wrestler. Dominic looks like David Flair. David Flair did not look like a wrestler. He looked like a wrestler's kid. And so that's why, like, this is not interesting to me. I don't care less. Go to the indies. You look at Luke Hawks, and then you look at his son. His son looks like a wrestler. And granted, that's why it's actually entertaining watching them as a tag team. But seeing Dominic on TV? Nah, bro. Nah. MJF, man, this guy, I actually had the video in here because I want to show y'all something that was really cool. As you see right there on your screen, he was walking out, and at one point, he was like, you know, had the same entrance as, you know, he had the same entrance, sort of like Goldberg, and he walked out there, and this time, I believe that is Lee Johnson. He was out there and walking, and MJF had to do the same thing. I guess somebody told him, hey, remember the time you walked out with Samoa Joe? Maybe he said, well, I used to walk with Samoa Joe, and I had to push the guy. So, but, you know, he's making a note. Him and Moxley for the championship. Match seems unbalanced to me. You got this hyperactive Mick Foley-like, Terry Funk-like guy in Moxley. Then you got this obnoxious, rich guy like MJF, who's also little. So, but he's great on the mic and he's very entertaining. So will his bodyguard get involved? Only time will tell. For goodness sake, I hope he does. I want to see a new champion. But this is what I go back to. And this is me harping on something that you never heard me harp about too much. Here's a guy who's little but has charisma and he's getting a shot. How many black wrestlers, Stone Cold Steve Austin calling you out, how many times was it said about black wrestlers? They need a little bit of size. You know, Stone Cold said that about Kofi Kingston when asked years ago, why wasn't he ever given a shot? Obviously, Kofi defied the odds and became champion. But it's like one of those situations, you know. So, who knows? Keith Lee came out and, you know, Karrion Kross and I ain't gonna call it a squash match. He defeated his opponent to open up the show, but now it's official because Keith Lee brought the contract to him. Said it's signed. I just need your signature because I want a match. He's tired of Karrion Kross basically destroying everything in sight, and now, you know, Kross was signed a contract. But as Scarlett kissed the contract, she left a fireball in there, and it boom blew up in Keith Lee's face. I'm sorry. I know we was excited about Keith Lee being champion, but man, this has, who was it? I want to say when Andrade won the championship, maybe when Aleister Black won the championship, I think Andrade beat him or no, I forgot. I honestly forgot the way it went down. Somebody will remind me in the comments, I'm sure. But this has those vibes like, hey, we know we wanted this guy to win. But this guy over here looks like the most dominant force in NXT and looks like the guy. So it's hard for me to even believe that this match isn't going to end in anything else than either a Karrion Kross winning a championship or no contest. That's the way I see it. I mean, it's the only way that makes sense, to be honest with you. So, but I'm going to go ahead and take a break. And of course, when I get back, I'm going to talk about the women. But folks, I told you the Wrestling Realm was coming out with new content. Here's something that the real Dwayne Allen and myself put together. And here's a piece of it. Because we have a special announcement. Because wrestling fans, we need to address some things.
As Brian H. Waters has distinguishedly said, we as wrestling fans will no longer use following terms. Terms that, as wrestling fans, we have no business using in reference to the wrestling business and or sports entertainment. With that being said, on anything Wrestling Realm related, we will no longer use the following terms. Mark, work, ring rat.
And I'm back, ladies and gentlemen. So that's just a clip, a little bit, about 20 seconds. You know, it's a few things that, you know, I want you guys to check out on there. Like I said, we had a lot of fun doing that. If you haven't done so, go ahead, click the subscribe button down below. Make sure you tell a friend about the realm. folks. Make sure you let them know. Turn the bell notifications on. And then when you do so, let me know you told somebody that did it, and I'll give you a shout out right here on the show. It's official. Sasha Banks and Asuka. Let's do it three times. Asuka took on Bayley and was victorious this Monday. And, I mean, just an incredible match. When Asuka goes in there, she's believable. She may not be the greatest champion. You may not be as entertained by her title runs, but in the ring, you're entertained. And you know what? Maybe you are entertained. You know, and I'm not going to say either way which way I am. I know a lot of people were mad because it felt like she never really got a all eyes on her since NXT. When she won the SmackDown Women's Championship, it was really a transitional thing because we all knew the title was going to Becky Lynch come SummerSlam, right? Come WrestleMania. Then this time it was like, yeah, she's champion, but all eyes are on Sasha and Bayley. But nonetheless, when you look at the in-ring work, it's always entertaining. So she defeated Bayley, so now it's official. Her and Sasha will take on each other at SummerSlam. And if you're a Sasha Banks fan, you can only hope and pray that Sasha retains the championship. I see a lot of Sasha and Alexa Bliss match clips coming up. And we all know what happened. She lost. I just think it's too soon to take the championship off of her. On Friday, there will be a women's battle royal, three brands, to determine who will be Bayley's opponent at SummerSlam. So that right there is, wow, okay, so who are you going with? And I kind of think it's going to be a curveball. I kind of think you may see somebody from SmackDown, but I think it's going to come down to SmackDown and NXT. If I had to take a guess, I'm going to say Naomi. I think the internet has been not screaming and crying, but I do think Naomi gets a shot. And then, you know, I know a lot of people watched last week's show, and shout out to Santana. We talked about, you know, she wants to see Naomi go heel. I said, I thought she was born. Guess what, folks? I'm going to say it again because I know I said it on the show. Maybe you didn't listen. And I said it and people tried to come at me and people said, well, let me see something. I don't care what you think. I can take the heat. That's why I do the show. I'm not one of these other people. I thought the heel run was boring. And if you don't think so, go back and watch it. Maybe you thought it was entertaining. Somebody show a clip from a house show. But when the lights was on, when the TV was on, when the lights, camera lights were on, we didn't get that Naomi. And we didn't get it all the time. She was not the same. She even said it herself. She was not comfortable. So, yes, I do think Naomi's heel run was boring. I do think she had a lot of room for improvement. Now, could she pull it off today? Maybe so. But when you listen to the podcast, when you hear her and Ariane talk, Ariane said it best. People love Trinity. She said, me, I got my mouth. But people love Trinity. For those who do not know, that's Naomi's shoot name. And because of that, that's why I think it was hard, because she's genuinely a nice person. The Miz, you look at him. He's himself turned up. Look at Sasha Banks. How many times you hear people complain about her at the airport when you guys are out there stalking her? How many times you hear about that? So when you look at her from that point of view, yes, yes. Sasha can be a believable heel. Naomi was not believable, and it was a matter of time before they switched it back. Yes, Team Bad was cool, but Sasha Banks outshined everybody in the group. Tamina was the muscle, and Naomi was getting lost. She was getting lost because people were excited to see Sasha Banks on the main roster because of the things she had done. And that's all I have to say about that. Oh, man, this WWE Raw Underground stuff. No. Some people like it. Me, no. I see Shayna Baszler, and I see her go out there. She's running through everybody. Shayna's legit. So why, unless you're putting Shayna and, what's the girl's name? Oh, man, I'm looking at Sonya Deville in there. It makes no sense. Obviously, you ain't putting Shayna and Ronda Rousey in there, even though that would be entertaining. But the whole underground thing, I think it's a reach. I don't think it'll be around that long. It's not as bad as Brawl for All, just because you don't see people getting hurt, but it's not entertaining at all. Bianca Belair, man, she is on a rampage. She believes that Zelina Vega was the reason Montez Ford was poisoned last week. She even showed up to her house while she was on Twitch or doing an interview with Kayla Braxton and beat her up. She was able to get the victory. But, you know, this was a match I enjoy. It felt like, and this is how good Zelina Vega is. She went out there, and even though she was fighting, she kept reminding her, I didn't do it. And she even made, like, the Sammy, I forgot the guy's name. But she made the video with him. It wasn't me. So, Shaggy. Yeah, the Shaggy video. But I like where they're going with this. I wish this match would have occurred at SummerSlam. But I guess because you got the tag team titles on the line, which I do think they lose, I think you'd rather focus on that and have those two out there at ringside. But nonetheless, this is entertaining. I understand why we probably won't see a lot of Zelina Vega in the ring, even though it would be like, man, it would be cool, but she's so good as a manager. And the art of managing is just, it's not lost, but it's like, man, you know? So I understand why they're doing things the way they are. Peyton Royce picks up a victory over Liv Morgan. I want to see the women's tag teams back in position where they're doing things. I want to see right now where Sasha and Bayley being the world champions for women's wrestling. I want to see these tag teams come and attack them or challenge them. I want to see them literally doing double duty with the belts. That's where I think the opportunity is missed. If you're going to make them the two women power trip, if you're going to make them have all the gold, have them have challengers coming at them from all different angles, let them beat them for a month, and then it eventually becomes too much. That's where this is an opportunity. That's why I really hope after SummerSlam, Sasha and Bayley walk away still champions, still celebrating the biggest party of the summer. So, only time will tell. Man, Mercedes Martinez. She and Aaliyah had a victory this past week. And man, I tell you, she and Rhea Ripley up next. I don't know if this match is official for TakeOver, but that's going to be hard hitting. You go back to Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania. It's an underrated match. And it's one of those matches where, to me, it solidified Charlotte as Miss WrestleMania. Not so much because of the wins, but because what she does in the ring. But you have to admit, Rhea went out there and did her thing too. So y'all know I'm a Mercedes Martinez fan. So I can't wait to see these two ladies lock up, because I think they're gonna be a sleeper and it's gonna shut the house down. The AEW Tag Team Cup. You know what? I'm gonna go ahead and roll this real quick.
Here's our tapped out segment of the week.
I can tell you this coffee I'm drinking right now is better than this tag team cup, this tag team tournament. It's been disappointing from the start. Bottom line, you had Ariane be hyped up. You hyped up a tag partner for Nyla Rose. That partner was Ariane. She comes in and she loses. You had Brandy and Allie in the opening match. It's like, yeah, okay. And it's just been a disappointment, man. There's no other way to put it. I'm not invested. I you get a trophy. Wow. Okay. I would have expected them to have a belt or something, but it's like, okay, you get a trophy. Woohoo. I think, you know, and I really hate to do this because I really don't want to criticize a black woman in this day and age, because I would rather be united. But it has to be said, I don't like what Brandi Rhodes is doing. I respect what she's doing, and I know it has to be tough, but to me, she's doing a bad job at trying to be like Stephanie McMahon. She's the chief branding officer, and she recently left Twitter. And she left Twitter because she said she wanted to focus on this tournament, but you're on Instagram showing pictures. Twitter is a method of communication. I would have rather her just went in and said, I couldn't take the heat from people. People are evil. Now, there should be, you know, I think we as human beings do need to do a better job at reporting tweets. And people need to stop bullying. And I know what you're saying, but you're sitting here being critical. I'm giving constructive criticism because as a fan, this doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense that Brandi and Allie look like that they're going to win the tag tournament. And it didn't make sense that Brandi says that women don't watch women's wrestling. No, there's a quote out there floating that Brandi said, women don't watch women's wrestling. I understand the space, but I don't understand trying to charge people about $4 or $5 a month. But my friend Candace said last week, hey, if you can afford it, fine. If you can't, that's fine too. Just wait. I just don't understand it. But that's me. But as far as what she's doing, like in the ring, I'm not impressed, you know, walking out there with an action figure. No, why? You know, but let's go to the tournament, right? You have Ivelisse and, my goodness, what's her name? Ivelisse and Diamante. And matter of fact, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and make that full screen. If I can find it, right? Yeah, right here. We're going to make this full screen. Because I want y'all to be able to see what I'm talking about. And I can do that. But, you know, as I pulled this up, it's just to me when I look at things, I'm like, you had Dasha making her in-ring debut. But I'm supposed to believe that she didn't know. Like, she was, like, super excited because Medusa came out there. To me, that was just overacting, over-dramatization. As I pulled this up on the screen. There we go. So you had Dasha making her... debut with Rachel Ellering and Ivelisse and Diamante. Okay, cool. Dasha took the pin. As opposed to Rachel, who's not signed. At least I don't think so. And to me, they didn't look good. Dasha just... I feel like she didn't look ready. And I know everybody has to train, but why rush her in this tag tournament just to have some names? That makes no sense. And I don't want to be that guy where she needs to stick to announcer. No. It's like I got the baseball game on. And there's this guy, Chance Cisco, from the Orioles. He was in AAA beforehand. The same with the WWE, you know, train people because it has to be believable, you know, and then you go to Big Swole and Lil Swole. And okay. And they're going to take on the Nightmare Sisters. I'm supposed to believe that Brandi Rhodes can beat Big Swole and Lil Swole. That makes no sense to me. And then Allie's, you know, good, but I'm really supposed to believe, and I think that's going to happen. Like I said, I just think they're going, you know, she's going to get the championship. I mean, the tag team cup, and it's not impressive. You have Rachel Chanel and Leva Bates taking on Big Swole and Lil Swole. It was another match that wasn't desirable. It wasn't fun at all. And I'm just sitting there like, man... No, and I just feel like you got all these women on here and there's so much potential, but I feel like the potential is being wasted and it could be so much better. Now it's like, well, what would you do? Well, one, why are we having a tag team cup? And then if we are having a tag team cup, if we were going to do this, right, why not have one, limit the teams. Let's do 4-4, right? Or what is it, 4 teams. But then also have the whole night. This was Tag Team Appreciation Night. And I get they want their own platform, but I think it's pushing it. I think it's a little too much. Put it on one show and have full-fledged Tag Team Appreciation. Have a month of Tag Team Appreciation, or maybe, you know, two-week special. I don't know. But I look at this tournament. I felt like from the jump it was going to be Nyla Rose in there. I wouldn't have made Ariane her partner personally, just because I would have gave Nyla Rose somebody who was going to stick around, somebody who was going to be a legitimate threat. You imagine if you'd have put Nyla Rose and Awesome Kong together, who would have beat them? You know, or even if you'd have put Nyla Rose and Big Swole, but you know, Big Swole and Lil Swole. Okay, but hey, you know, I'm just a fan voicing my opinion. You know, and maybe I might get blackballed from it. I mean, not that I plan to work at AEW, but you never know. Some people are sensitive and whatnot. And I said, you know, I'm not going to shy away from it. This is my opinion. This is what this is what the podcast is for. Breaking it down with Brian H. Follow me at Brian H. Waters. And Brian H. breaks this down and doesn't like the tag team tournament. So moving on, you know, I mentioned, like I said, as the screen, you see Dasha didn't like the fact that she was overselling. And then after losing, she was happy because she finally got her feet in the door. No, you're competing for a cup. It's not a jobber match. It's not a regular match. You're competing for something. So why, if you're competing for something, are you happy? Like, okay, I lost, but it's okay. No. So, man, I tell you. Yeah. Oh boy, wrestling, man. wrestling. So, you know, but I tell you this, have you been watching Impact? Impact has been really good. You know, when you sit back and let me get this off the screen. If you sit back, you go back and watch this, you saw Jordynne Grace taking on Kimberly. Jordynne Grace was victorious because she won an opportunity. Kimberly said, hey, I'll get rid of Jordynne Grace for you, but now I want an opportunity to knock out championship. But nope, Jordynne Grace is victorious, and she will take on Deonna Purrazzo and attempt to get her championship back in a first ever knockouts Iron Man match. Now, like I said, listen to Talking About Wrestling. Terrence did a great in-depth discussion about this. He talked about this, and it did, you know, I didn't like Deonna winning the championship in her first night, but hey, it is what it is, right? It is what it is. Will Jordynne Grace get the championship back? Only time will tell. She's one of the best in the business right now. She's one of the most entertaining in the business, and I think a lot of people overlook her. I'm telling you, check out her matches. She is believable. Man, Mandy Rose returned this week, beats up Sonya Deville. She returned with short hair. I think that we can get ready for a match between those two at SummerSlam. It's like one of those things, man. You love hard and you hate hard. When you have tag teams break up, it's always like, wow. But unfortunately for them, I think Sonya Deville, I'm wondering where she goes after here. I hate to be that guy, but it always seems like there's plans, big plans for Mandy Rose. Let's be real, because of how she looks. She's an instant model. So, and then she's obviously with Otis, who is the Money in the Bank briefcase holder. So only time will tell. Speaking of Money in the Bank, though, now look at the fact that, you know, at SummerSlam, you're going to get The Fiend versus Braun Strowman. And Braun, and one of the things, like, I remember talking to Corey. Shout out to Corey, my brother. Happy birthday to him. I remember him, we was talking about this when Braun lost the title, right? When The Fiend lost the title, he said it made sense because what would Goldberg go back to? After The Fiend beats up everybody, to go back. It would make sense for The Fiend to regain his championship because you look at this. Braun is starting to grow his hair back. And they show, you saw that during the matchup. And you could apply it to the coronavirus if you want to, but he's starting to grow his hair back. So I wonder what happens there. But I'm also wondering, will Otis try to cash in if he doesn't? You know, the Fiend could leave Braun out cold. We remember when him and Seth Rollins had their match for the Universal Championship. It could be like one of them case scenarios. And then there's Otis there for the pickings. Otis could leave SummerSlam as the WWE Universal Champion. Woo, wouldn't that be something? But I'm going to go ahead and take a break. Folks, make sure you check out my other podcast, Breaking Through the Glass Ceiling. I said before that with this show, as I'm in season two now, if you listen, you know, I always host interviews. I got the interview set up. That show is already set up through the middle of September. So I'm very excited. I got guests, former ESPN producers, Bleacher Report producers, you know, player engagement specialists with the Chicago Bears. So I want you to check that out. But I turned 34 on Friday. And when I turned 34, I did a full episode just reflecting. It was like therapy. You know, it's been a long year, the coronavirus. So I did a full episode reflecting on things. And of course, I had to talk wrestling. So here's a clip of me discussing what happened when I went to wrestling with a couple of friends. So we're trying to figure out who wants to go to wrestling for free. And we could not find six people. We ended up, I think it was like five of us, four or five of us that went. Yeah, me, Blake, Tayron, D, my cousin Mike, and D's girlfriend's son. So that was fun, but it was just weird. It was like, man, this is 2019 and we can't give away wrestling tickets. Now, had this been 1999, oh, that would have been easy. I mean, you're talking Stone Cold, The Rock, Undertaker, boom, it would be easy to get rid of those tickets. So we laugh about that, like, man, we really couldn't get rid of those tickets. And it was a good show. That night, Bayley made her heel turn. And it was something I had been waiting for, I called for, and then boom, it happened. To be there, it's nothing like when you see stuff like that in person. The next month, AEW, All Elite Wrestling, had their debut show. Now let me tell y'all about this one. The tickets go on sale sometime around June or July. And I was thinking about it, maybe, maybe not. Decided, okay, I'm going, right? I buy the tickets, I get online, and you gotta like bang on there, fight for the ticket sale. I mean, you know, trying to buy a ticket. I get my ticket. I ask a few friends, nobody wanna go. So I said, all right, buy a ticket by myself, whatever. So get my ticket. Then we fast forward to the day of the show. Because I wanted to be a history. First AEW Dynamite. The first ever. I wanted to be there. It was in D.C. We get there. And I see my good brother Corey. Now Corey goes to all the wrestling shows. And I knew we were both buying our tickets the same day. We saw it in the same section. He tells me he upgraded. I said, what? I look online. And floor seats were down going for like 40 or 50 bucks. And I was like, are you kidding me? And I'm debating, do I buy a seat? Do I? I was like, you know, and I just got to a point and felt like it. And I had a. And I'm back, ladies and gentlemen. So, as we look to go to the third part of the show, make sure you hit the subscribe button. Let me go ahead and throw that on the screen so you know all the places we are located. That is, we can hit the subscribe button on YouTube. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at Wrestling Realm. Like the fan page at The Wrestling Realm, quite frankly. But we're also available on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify. You name it, we're there. We're also on iHeartRadio and Pandora Podcasts. So hit the subscribe button. You can get Break It Down with Brian H. You can get some of the interviews. You can also get, I have interviews with Caprice Coleman, Roxy, Amber Rodriguez, Jonte Keith, Keith Mack, you know, just a couple of people and some more. So make sure you check those out. R-Truth does it again. Finally, once again, he is the 24/7 champion. Also, just to let y'all know, I just got the word from the real Dwayne Allen. He texted me back. So, yeah, look out. We are doing an AEW follow-up show. Anytime he says, heck yeah, you know what's up. But, yeah, R-Truth regains the championship, the 24/7 championship. The title was created for him. I mean, like, the Hardcore Championship, even though Mick Foley had it once, I believe. I remember an interview on Wrestle Talk America, I believe that's what it was called, back here in Baltimore about 20 years ago, and he talked about how he thought the championship was like an award. It wasn't really like a belt he defended. He kind of thought it was like a $1 million title. But yeah, the R-Truth, you know, he got his baby back. Impact Wrestling, Brian Myers debuted and lost as he challenged Eddie Edwards for the Impact Championship. No. Why? This is somebody, granted, he lost a lot when he was Curt Hawkins, for those who do not know who Brian Myers is. But he comes in there. I would have liked to see this guy kind of get built up and just had that new identity. Same with Heath Slater. Like, he's trying to get the contract. To me, it's like an extension. Like, let's be real. These guys are much better and belong in bigger than Impact. But help use these guys to elevate the brand awareness. You know, for wrestling fans, people who like these guys, give them an opportunity, you know. Don't put them in world championship matches right away. Have them wreak havoc and with their eyes on the goal, only to take the title later. That's what I'd rather see. Don't come in and lose the championship match. You know, I look at the Good Brothers. I like what they're doing. You know, they come in and wreaking havoc and then they got an issue, but they haven't gone right after the tag team titles. At least I don't think so. I forgot who's tag team champions over there, to be honest with you. But, like, these guys are legit, you know? So, and Carl Anderson, now we're getting to see him open up more. And when he was in WWE, I was like, man, would they ever give him a shot? You know, he was limited to tag team wrestling, but we knew he had personality. So that's led me to bring this up. I got to bring this up. Could you imagine if AJ Styles went back home? Could you imagine if AJ Styles, the way that he is now, the guy who's the face that runs the place, the guy who's been WWE champion, Intercontinental champion, U.S. champion. Can you imagine if he goes and shows up on Impact Wrestling? He's going to blow the roof off of that place, fans or no fans. And I believe he'll bring a whole new audience. Because, so, if you play NBA 2K and you play my player mode, the better your player gets, the more fans he has. And with AJ Styles, you see, like, when he was in TNA, Impact, let's say he had 1 million fans, but now he went to WWE, he went to New Japan, as the real Dwayne Allen say, he wiped the TNA stink off of him from the last couple of years, and then he goes to WWE, and then boom, skyrockets. He's a household name. I bring up the Royal Rumble when he made his debut. When AJ Styles made his debut, I was excited. My son's sitting there with me. He was like, who's that? I'm like, that's AJ Styles. You fast forward now. Well, actually, fast forward a year later, or maybe 8 months later, I'm walking around the arena trying to find gloves, the AJ Styles gloves for my son, instantly. So you imagine all the WWE-only folks that's going to follow him over. It would be the biggest move from WWE to Impact since Kurt Angle, bar none. Yes, Christian was a big deal, but when Kurt Angle went over there, it was like, whoa. Because Christian was, you know, he was kind of like what Heath Slater was. And then he went over there and became a star. You take AJ Styles over there, he's instant credibility. They get bigger TV deals. Just imagine if AJ Styles goes to back home, say, hey, I did it all, I want to finish my career. You go back and look at Ric Flair, right? Ric Flair said, yeah, WWE, they did business great. They treated me well. Even though, Rick, you know, towards the end, Vince was like, all right, you know, I got to get younger. But when he went to WCW, it was home. Remember, there's no place like home. Anybody tell you, you know me, I used to work at ESPN for a letter. Lived in Bristol, Connecticut for 2 years. But there's no place like home, Baltimore, Maryland. So, also there, Eric Young and Willie Mack. Eric Young was victorious. Eric Young, Rich Swann retired, former WWE Cruiserweight Champion, former Impact Wrestling X Division Champion, retired due to injury. And after, you know, he got the emotional send-off, Eric Young beat him up. He retired, due to injury. He hit him with the injured leg. And that's when Willie Mack, it felt personal. So I'm like, man, to me, I felt like this was rushed. Why have a match on Impact, instead of building it towards the next pay-per-view? But that's just me. You know, maybe you people who are the real Impact fans can address that better than I can. So it's time to go. Let me make sure we got everything situated. Yeah. Okay, cool. It's time to go Around the Net.
Around the Net, brought to you by B Waters Productions. If you're looking to get an event filmed or high quality pictures, you want professional quality, simply go on Instagram at B Waters Productions and visit www.brianhwaters.com to book B Waters Productions for your event.
So make sure you follow B Waters Productions on Instagram and visit brianhwaters.com. So this week, Around the Net, just a couple things. We saw, obviously, you may have seen the Finnish AEW Championship. We look at the title. I want to know, what do you guys think? You know, how do you feel about the championship? I said it earlier on the show. I wish they would have kept it away. Because it's really, I will always have the way the championship used to look. And so, but I really wish it was like, y'all really should have, we could have waited. We didn't need that title. We didn't need to look at it right now. And I'm going to make it full screen too. What y'all thinking? Like, man, why you ain't prepared? Look, it's a lot that goes on behind the scenes before the show gets started. So let me make that full screen. You look at it, it's got the gold accent. It looks more like a prestigious championship. I didn't need the title so soon. I just rather see a finished product first. That's me. I'd rather see a finished product first and then afterwards, you know, show me anything, whatever you want to show me. But Raw Underground, Liv Morgan says, bring back the dancers. WWE caught a lot of flap about that. You know, it's like, oh, this is the Attitude Era again. You had the girls dancing while you had the guys in there fighting. But Liv Morgan said, you know, I believe somebody even said, well, you got the guy, why not have guys in Speedos? And I remember when I had Chad from View from the Top Rope on here, he brought that up. He said, you know, if you're going to have Mandy Rose, this was when Mandy Rose was trying to seduce Jimmy Uso. So if you're going to have Mandy Rose doing that, let's see Finn Balor do some stuff. You know, just make it equal. And that's what somebody was saying. Let him in the Speedos. I'm all about equality. But Liv Morgan says, empower all women. And then Vanessa Bourne says she's interested in managing them. So I want to know, how do you guys feel, guys and gals? You know, shout out to the lady listeners. How do y'all feel? Do you want to see the backup dance? Do you want to see the dancers? And do you want to see Vanessa Bourne managing them? You know, that's what I'm interested in to know. I wouldn't mind. I don't care for Raw Underground. It's just boring to me. It's like, I don't, why, maybe because, like, again, maybe it's because I'm not an MMA fan, you know? So maybe that's why. Also, the Velveteen Dream, he returned this week on NXT. I don't know if I talked about that. Here it comes. Excuse me. Not impressed. I don't know. I really don't. You know, last I still feel he's guilty. And some people may be like, oh, you don't know, this, that, and other. come on, y'all. That sound like his voice, you know, the pictures. Like, man, you talking about young kids. I don't play that. I don't deal with abusers, and I don't deal with offenders, those type of sex offenders. So I'm not really excited about that. But Lana, Lana is Lana, and she wanted everybody to know. She wanted the world to know. Before I get there, let's just make a mention that somebody had the nerve to say that she should have been fired and they should have kept Miro, a.k.a. Rusev. And he ripped the fan, says, you know, you need to stop it. Don't ever wish anybody. But speaking of her and her fan, I mean, her and her husband, her real life husband, she admitted that her and Rusev had sex in the tank at WrestleMania 31. I guess she, you know, she's on TV still. She's TikToking with Natalya. Shout out to Mickie James returning on Raw. But I guess she said, hey, what they going to do to me now? What, they can't do nothing to her. Maybe she's trying to get fired, or I don't know. But she wanted people to know that. And she also wanted people to know that her and Rusev, and she said her ex-husband, her first ex-husband, had sex at a beach. So she's very comfortable and wants everybody to know that her and Rusev doing what married folks are supposed to do. So, but yeah, they must. I wonder, did they do this before the match? After the match? You know, we all remember Rusev was, you know, let me see if I can pull up. Rusev. Now, when you look for Rusev WrestleMania 31 tank, it's not going to be the same, obviously. But, and Rusev has declared that that was his best entrance ever, you know, but yeah, he, him and, Lana, you know, he went into WrestleMania 31 undefeated, as he would eventually lose the championship to John Cena. And I really, you know, you go back to that, it was fun. If you remember, this was a time when he was unbeatable. And at one point you thought maybe Mark Henry, Olympic hero, maybe Mark Henry would have been the guy to get it done. He wasn't, as I pulled the tank up right there. Yeah, so him and Lana, they had some fun. I don't know which part, were they inside or whatever. But it does make you think, like, you know, you go back to that reign, and he was like, man, he looked like he going to have a big push coming. It looks as if they got a lot going on. They really believe in this guy. Unfortunately for him, Rusev Day got over with the fans, but it felt like WWE said no. Now, you can also look at the argument that he was Rusev, when Rusev Day was over, this is at a time when AJ Styles was champion and you had two faces and AJ was drawing money. So maybe, but you know, I don't know. Maybe you could have put him on Raw. I mean, yeah, maybe you could have put him on Raw or something. But ladies and gentlemen, that will do it for this week episode. I know it's a lengthy one, man, but it was so much to talk about, especially since a lot of things I didn't talk about last week. We are in the midst of SummerSlam season, so that's going to be fun as we get ready for the biggest party of the summer. Of course, expect a SummerSlam preview show. Just be surprised, because, you know, more than likely, usually I bring on guests, so who's coming on next week? We don't know. Maybe there'll be a show this Friday. I don't know yet. But as you know, it was getting across the 12 o'clock. We're about 30 minutes away as in taping. But by the time you listen to it, I got to give a special happy birthday to my dad, you know, Brian H. Waters. H is for him, Howard. My dad, Howard Waters. Happy birthday to him, turning a big 59 years old, I think. What's this, 2020? Yeah, turning 59 years old. We all said, so I'll say it this way, I have the best dad in the world for me. Love you, Dad. Until the next time, folks, I'm Brian H. Waters. So long, everybody.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Break It Down with Brian H. Hit the subscribe button and turn on the bell so you get notified every time the Wrestling Realm posts new content.